that sings and cures, or even better, you might find yours. In your pocket is not the world. The world is the one that lies before your feet, in the people that we meet. The smells, the sounds, the sights, the skies tell the world that you are ready, and it replies. You see, I'm not sure what the secret to happiness is, but I'm pretty sure it starts when you go outside.
It's unusual in this segment for us to play the entirety of the musical piece. But in that case, you might find yours by Tom Rosenthal. We had to do that to get to that beautiful point at the conclusion there. I'm not sure what the secret to happiness is, but it starts when you go outside. A wonderful way to lead us to a sense of place, the song chosen by the man with whom we're about to talk and to travel into the outdoors, David Pocock. David, welcome.
Hi, Jonathan.
You may know David from his previous career as a professional rugby player. He's recently co-authored a book with his wife, Emma, and it's called In Our Nature. David, where should we go to begin this conversation? What's the place to which you want to take us?
There's a spot along the Murrumbidgee River in the ACT, probably 20-25 minutes drive from Canberra, that is kind of my little getaway spot that I've been spending quite a bit of time over the years. When I have a day off from training, or Sunday after a game, I'll head out there and just get away from it all for a while.
It sounds like a semi-secret location, perhaps, far from the madding crowd.
It's one of those places where there's often people out there, but if you kind of just walk, I don't know, 500 or 600 metres up or downstream, you have the place to yourself.
Now, this notion of sort of opening yourself to nature, of being aware of your surrounds, of drinking in that natural moment, is that something that's always been part of your life?
I grew up on a farm in Zimbabwe and was, I guess, really fortunate that my dad and my grandfather were really into, birds and wildlife. So grew up learning about it and just found it totally fascinating. And I guess with the book, after going back to Zimbabwe and spending most of 2017 there, having a year away from rugby, I came back with a real sort of questioning about, what does it mean to belong to a place? I guess as an immigrant in Australia, my experience has been that you don't fully feel like you belong. You're always, part of it, but slightly different. And then going back to Zimbabwe, I realized that, I didn't feel like I really belonged there anymore. So what does it mean to belong? And how do you, as an immigrant, cultivate a relationship with a place? How do you become naturalized to a place? And for me, a couple of spots along the Murrumbidgee have really allowed me to do that, to get away and, really appreciate just how incredible this continent is. And I've often said to Em over the years when we've been out there, like, Australians spend thousands of dollars traveling around the world to go to places like this, and it's 20 minutes from home. So I really think that the more we get out and begin to get to know this land and how incredible it is, and the more we love it, the more that we're actually going to look after it.
I mean, that's a key point, isn't it? It's hard to imagine a culture, a civilization, letting itself do what this one is doing to the natural world if it was closely connected to that natural world. In order to sort of have something happen like climate change or like pollution and so forth, you need, in a way, to turn yourself away from nature.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of our problem is that disconnect where we don't truly live in the places that we live. A lot of us live more in TV shows and Twitter feeds and, you know, water comes from a tap and our food comes from a supermarket and we don't get to see the catchment that's providing that water and all the farmers that are producing the food we eat. You know, I think beginning to find ways to connect with that, whether it's spending time in the local park or most Australian cities have pretty good access to nature. We're incredibly blessed.
Mm.
And I guess one of the reasons why I love that song by Tom, like he's very playful with his music, but it really struck a chord with me because, you know, I'm someone who often feel like I always need to be doing something, and there's so much magic in just being, just allowing yourself to go and sit under a tree and watch the birds for a few hours and not feel guilty about it. You know, just be a human being for a while.
And yet, you come from this background as a professional sportsman, as an international rugby player, which is almost the most obsessive of working lives, the most directed, the most contained of environments. How did it feel for you inside of that to have, what I suspect was this is always and a constant yearning for some sort of a quietness on the outside?
Yeah, it was a real tension at times between trying to, I guess, put everything into rugby and performing well, but also being able to find the balance of getting away from it. And I found over the years that was the key for me is being able to disconnect from it for periods of time and get away and just rest. And I guess in the book, in our nature,
yeah,
one of the things that my partner Emma and I were trying to do is show some of these incredible places around the world and tell some really hopeful stories of people who are actively engaged and actively working to improve the health of the land and create new ways of living and doing things that bring us back into relationship with nature. I mean, here in Australia, we have the oldest living culture that's, you know, done that for tens of thousands of years, if we're willing to learn. So,
I mean, it is, you have been for, you know, some years now quite vocal as an activist in the climate space. And that can be such negative territory in a way. It can be an argument that's a bit overwhelmed by pessimistic realities too, as you're doing in this book, trying to find senses of hope and positivity in that. Perhaps that's what we need to be more effective in that conversation.
Yeah, I was really puzzled moving to Australia as a teenager. It seems like there's a lot of talk about what is and isn't Australian. Like a lot of my mates would say, oh, that's un-Australian. And I often think, you know, what's more Australian than some of these incredible places that we're not looking after, like the mountain ash forests in Victoria or the Tarkine in Tasmania, you know, a host of species that are kind of on the brink of extinction. This is the Australia we should be looking after, and we should be finding ways to ensure that people can live good lives and also all these other places and species can be looked after, because yeah, I guess that's our future, and we're currently kind of living our lives on the back of future generations.
It's an interesting journey using the profile that you've been granted through your success in sport to then transform that into a political and activist message. I mean, it's a thing which is happening increasingly with people in sport. They're not feeling constrained from making political points. But when you started it, it got a fair bit of, there's a bit of blowback.
Yeah, it can be a very polarizing thing. And the standard line you get thrown at you is, you know, just stick to rugby. But you're a human being. And I think these are important things that I'd be interested in and speaking about if I wasn't a rugby player. And I knew what it was like as a kid to kind of look up and idolize rugby players. So I made the decision to try and talk about things that I thought were important.
And you remain optimistic about the possibilities?
Yeah, I mean, I'm optimistic. We face huge challenges, but I think seeing young people like the climate strikers beginning to get vocal, starting to see businesses begin to take a lead, you know, I think that'll really start to pressure politicians who have really been letting us down on these issues.
David, thank you. It's an important message. And I'm sure as you sit on that nook on the Murrumbidgee that the presence of the natural world reassures you.
It really does. I mean, when those yellow-tailed black cockatoos fly overhead calling, there's something about flowing water that is just so calming and grounding. So, incredibly lucky to live in a place where we have access to those sorts of areas.
David Pocock, professional rugby player, co-author of In Our Nature, written with his wife, Emma Pocock. You can get a copy of it at David's website, davidpocock.com. All profits are going to the Australian Wildlife Conservancy. And this is Blueprint on Radio National.